You're listening to the Play Therapy Podcast with Dr. Brenna Hicks, your source for centered and focused play therapy coaching.
Hi, I'm Dr. Brenna Hicks, the Kid Counselor. This is the Play Therapy Podcast, where you get a masterclass in child-centered play therapy and practical support and application for your work with children and their families. In today's episode, I am answering a question from Sandy in Iowa. And her question is about the SMART Goal podcast that I've done in the past, more specifically how to have some specific data to share with parents and teachers with the measurable objectives regarding the modifications for the SMART goals that we've talked about in the past. So thanks, Sandy, for the email. I appreciate hearing from you, and I'll read parts of her email and then we'll chat about this together. I'm so happy to learn from you and enjoy your podcast. I've listened to your podcast on writing SMART goals for CCPT several times. I work in a school setting where our services are provided free to children and there is no billing involved. To be honest, no one is really looking at my goals and objectives. How lovely. However, I feel an ethical responsibility to write measurable objectives and would like to have some hard data to share with parents and teachers. Would you consider doing another podcast where you share more specific examples of goals and measurable objectives for the four outcomes of CCPT? So yes, I'd be happy to do that. So if you have not started at the beginning and you've not gone in order from the first podcast, please do that. And if you do that, you will have listened to the SMART Goals Modification podcast that I did a while back. So essentially, that specific episode was about someone asking how to modify if the expectation is they have to do a SMART goal for their place of employment or their agency or whatever. So what we talked about in that episode is that you can use the four universal outcomes as your goals, because we know that every child, regardless of presenting problem and regardless of why a child begins the therapeutic process in the first place, they will work toward and achieve those four universal outcomes. If you do not know what those are, also please go back and listen to episode one. So, Sandy, to speak to your question about specific examples, essentially what you're looking to do is tease apart each universal outcome. In other words, we have increased regulation. Well, what does that practically speaking look like? So we would see a reduction in dysregulation, or we would see an increase in calm, regulated stability. And we would want that to be in multiple environments. We would want to see that increase in the playroom. We would want to see that in other environments such as home and school. And we would want to see a decrease in dysregulated behavior if the child was an externalizer and one of the presenting problems was that big behavioral outcome. So another one, increased self-esteem. We would want to see the child demonstrating more confidence. We would want to see them implementing problem solving. We would want to see evidence of greater coping skills. We would want to see them working on self-esteem building themes in the playroom. So these are all specific things that we're going to be looking for. You just essentially have to take each universal outcome and kind of unpack it. So if we expect to see an increase in fill-in-the-blank worldview, for example, what would that meaningfully look like in the playroom and also in other environments? So that's one easy way to address that. And then to address another part of your question, you know, I'd like to have hard data to share with parents and teachers. Well, the way that you do that, really kind of independent of the SMART goal process, is you always want to look for what themes are emerging in the play. Once you have identified the themes, then you're able to not only share that with parents and teachers, which is meaningful, but remember, the themes are only important as they relate to progress. So it's not just, oh, the child is doing good versus bad theme. Well, that really means nothing to a parent or a teacher unless you help them understand why good versus bad theme is meaningful work according to what the child needs to address. So you always want to make sure that you're tying themes back to what the goals are for the child. So if the child has very high anxiety, we essentially want to look for fear-facing play at some point. So we can explain to parents with confidence and teachers with confidence, when we see evidence of fear-facing play, we know that the child is conquering their high levels of anxiety. So we're going to look at themes and we're going to look at shifts within themes. Because sometimes the child will persist in thematic play. And if that's the case, then we're looking for shifts within the theme. So we went from dictatorial power and control to a reduction for power and control. Now we have a balanced, appropriate power and control. Those are the types of things that we would share with parents, but again, only tied back to why that is meaningful in the child's progress. So we would have to help a parent and teacher understand that essentially the pendulum is swinging. And these are the types of things that you want to share with parents and teachers, because the themes mean nothing to someone outside of the playroom. The shifts mean nothing to someone outside of the playroom. You always have to weave it back to why is this significant for this child and the goals that the child is working toward. And then obviously any change that is notable, you are going to also share that with teachers and parents, because we know that as changes take place in the playroom, that means that changes are inevitably taking place in the totality of the child's world. That starts to carry over into other environments, other relationships, other scenarios. So yes, you can absolutely be very specific on each four universal outcome, but you can also be very specific about the themes and the shifts and the changes that you're observing. Again, always tied back to progress. So Sandy, thanks so much for the email. I hope that that's helpful for all of you. And for those of you that are required to use a certain format for your notes, or follow a template, or you use a printed sheet, if you will, be mindful that what you write in your psychotherapy notes, they're just for you. So what you're writing down in session, it's just for you. You can always enter whatever you want into progress notes, but your psychotherapy notes are so that you have a sense of what's going on in real time, and you can refer to those to then create any kind of other note that's required of you. So just please be aware those are different. They serve different purposes. And so Sandy, what you write down in the midst of the session can be very distinct and separate from what might go in your SMART goal report for the school. All right. Love y'all. Hope that you have a great week. Thanks for hanging out with me. We'll talk again soon. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Play Therapy Podcast with Dr. Brenna Hicks. For more episodes and resources, please go to www.playtherapypodcast.com.